The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. It is Tuesday, 24th of October, 2023. I'm joined by Johnny Boy.
Your fellow. Ooh, good morning. Good afternoon, even. How are you doing?
Yeah, afternoon. Are you hot? Are you heating on, John?
The heating is on. Yeah, the heating is on.
Is it? Are you crazy? What are you doing?
Bit in the bullet.
Yeah. Well, you got to warm up. Markets are cold again. Certainly a few of my stocks are rising, doing okay. But generally, it's very gloomy out there. And in fact, looking at some data today, I'm saying, are we in recession? Welcome along, everyone. If you're watching right now live, by all means, hit that like button and comment. Are we in recession? John, what do you reckon?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I think economists are suggesting the same thing as well. It feels like it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's some stats here. I'll bring up. It's worth reading this because I mean, looking at we had unemployment data and PMI data out, which is purchasing managers. It's business activity essentially. But UK businesses stuck in reverse in October. Britain's business reported another decline in activity this month, and cost pressures have cooled further, underlying the risk of a recession as the Bank of England prepares for its interest rate decision. This is next week, of course. Next Thursday, we get the Bank of England coming out, and they spend a month going over the data. I don't think they do spend a month. I think it's a last-minute decision. What do you reckon, guys? A quick show of hands on the table. Yeah. But anyway, the flash preliminary reading of the UK Purchasing Managers, PMI, that is, fell in October to 49.2, the lowest reading since January, below 50, of course, in contraction. And this is, Ruth Gregory, the Deputy Chief UK Economist at Capital Economics, says, this supports our view that a mild recession is underway, and the Bank of England has finished hiking interest rates. Mm-hmm. And the ONS have changed the way they collected data on unemployment because people weren't replying to the surveys. Yeah. You imagine getting a survey through your door from the ONS. It's not the most exciting thing of the day, is it? So they found other ways, other data sources. But anyway, number of employed people fell 82,000 and unemployed rose by 74,000. And look at that. So employment has fallen by 133,000 in the 3 months of July compared with 207,000 in the previous estimate. So we're seeing jobs slowing down. We're seeing, in fact, prices also.
There's so many signs that activity is slowing. The one we talked about the other day, the builders, builders merchants, they're seeing a real softening in demand and, struggling to kind of recoup what they spent on expensive, stock. Lots of inventory risk rising there. All sorts of signs we're seeing it in the recruiters, although Gattaca's numbers today were actually quite decent. It's all getting pretty soggy. The interest rates are having an impact on the economy.
Yeah, but let's look at what the AIM All Share is doing. Oh, what a surprise! It's down again. So everything's down. FTSE is a smidge down, 250.34%. And we got the AIM All Share down 28%. Africa Airtel is the biggest rise today, up 3%. FTSE, Centrica, all the safe stocks, look, all utilities.
Defenses.
Seven Trent. Yeah, Rio Tinto's there, though, and Rolls-Royce. Fallers, Barclays down 6%. Or the banks. There is something worrying about the bonds, of course. Bond prices have just really fallen. In fact, today, they've eased a little bit today.
Well, yeah, because there are a couple of big shorts in the market, Bill Ackman being one of them.
Yeah, they've come off, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's closed the shorts, covered his shorts. So, I think the thesis there is that, as the economy weakens, you don't want to be short bonds because people will then rush into them as a safe haven. So, that might be a peak there. Bond yields.
What's the biggest? In fact, the yield curve. Look at that. It's coming back up. It's coming back towards non-inverted. And in fact, what's the highest? The 2 year in America, 2 year bond there. Yeah, that's the biggest. Highest yield there, but it's starting to see a bit of a rollover. We'll see. It has had a trend upwards. We'll see if it rolls over here. But the cost, really, even the governments. It's this debt. It's phenomenal. They can't spend on anything else apart from servicing the debt. It's getting so crazy. Anyway, we'll look through that. Quick comment from yesterday. We're talking about Will we see, a Santa rally? And the stats suggest, it's likely, in the last quarter, but an 80% or 70% chance, going back 10 years, in December, 80% chance of a rise in the markets there. And this is Shiru, the vegan Westie, says, started stock market investing back in 1997. Oh, getting ready for the dot-com bubble, eh? Mm. So I've been invested for 26 years now. From experience, I reckon the markets will start going up from next week. There we are. November onwards, we'll get a stronger rally closer to the Christmas New Year period. Fingers crossed, smile, praise. Hopefully. Yeah, there we are. A couple of comments quickly. Informer, why invest or bet on AIM when we can bet on Bitcoin? At least Bitcoin has global appeal. Yeah, well, Bitcoin is rising.
It's the speculation of the ETF.
Yeah,
that's really supporting that, and we're seeing big rises in UK Bitcoin related companies. So both Quantum Blockchain and Argo are flying at the moment.
This is the BlackRock ETF, sort of BlackRock's biggest investment manager, fund manager in the world, of course, and rumored to be launching a Bitcoin ETF. So that's pushed it up. But you say that, right? Bitcoin, Informer, is down more than AIM. Bitcoin has been down at 70-odd%. So AIM is AIM is not volatile compared to that. So yeah, it is quite volatile. The chart is quite erratic. I'd be interested in a Bitcoin ETF just to have a look at it. But yeah, you're right there on the old. If you go to the front page of Vox here, some of the rises today. SCS, another company being taken out.
Yeah, another takeout. this is a worrying trend. But what it does suggest, just before we go back to Bitcoin. it suggests that the UK market is too cheap. That we're seeing a lot of takeovers, a lot of companies being taken out by big trade buyers or private equity. UK companies are too cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And the question, of course, is how much longer that will persist for. It's something that I discussed with Jamie Constable from Singers, which that interview will be up sometime in the next day or so. There will be a limit to the point, which companies are allowed to be taken over on the cheap. You'll start to see investors pushing back, and you'll start to see money flowing back into the UK. It's been very, very, very out of favour. But that sort of thing doesn't last forever.
Yeah. So Informer obviously holds a bit of Bitcoin. This is the share price of SCS right there. And that's where it closed yesterday from 160 yesterday. Now 279. So that's the biggest riser. But like I said, if you look at some of the other risers here, and they're not on any news. Well, Quantum Blockchain, of course, announced it may be. So if you don't understand what they do, basically they're pioneering programs. Sort of you can sort of enhance the efficiency of Bitcoin miners.
Mining tech,
mining technology. But these miners, apparently, they're in talks with them. And they said, can you share the source code? They said no. But they did say they're going to do a third-party software as a service platform, enable the core. So that shot up on that. And, of course, that together with Bitcoin, it's a cracking combination. Bitcoin price rises and more efficiency. What else is there? It's also on blockchain.
Yeah,
there's a blockchain.
Yeah.
This is the one that gutted me, honestly. Literally. So if you look at this, I was gutted by this because... if you go back on YouTube, I did videos about this, and I said, it's going to move. Didn't move, which lost my patience here. Didn't move, and look at that. It actually went from 9p up to £3.40. I was out just before that. Got out.
It's a recurring theme here, Justin, your lack of patience.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. I've had about 3 10 baggers, but I've missed out on about 3 10 baggers. And Audio Boom is one. Argo Blockchain is another. There's something else coming. But Quantum Blockchain, it's not this QBT. Because Argo took on a lot of debt when Bitcoin was high, money was easy. And so they struggled a bit when the Bitcoin price came down. But look at that. Got Argo Blockchain. It's done.
Quantum
Blockchain, so yeah. It's done like 218%. In 11 days.
Yeah, we covered that news well, they had some fairly decent results, and we saw them, you know, really drastically reducing their losses. And, you know, this new technology, this new mining tech, you know, can really, you know, I think 2.5 times improves the efficiency of their mining operations by, which is significant.
Nice new thumbnails. Thanks. Yeah, I've been playing around with thumbnails on the website there on YouTube. Steve, a rare day off from work and joining live. Thank you, Steve. It's nice to see that. If you have a day off work and you're sitting around the house thinking, what am I going to do at 12 o'clock? You know, maybe grab an early lunch and join in live. Look forward to your thoughts today, Justin. Fredo, all getting a bit soggy. That's in inverted commas there. Anyway, we'll go back to the comments a bit. Let me know. What do you think? Are we in recession? Yes or no? And this is not a bad thing, by the way, because I've looked at lots of stats about this. And the worst time of the markets are 6 to 12 months before a recession. When a recession happens, they get announced, it's normally backdated. They say, we were in recession. And the markets start to rally then because comps get less bad, essentially.
We have a few months to wait before that becomes official, but... And it's not. It's, you know, what we're not seeing is some kind of sort of catastrophic slowdown. It's sort of, you know, dipping in and out of recession, or degrowth, whatever you want to call it. It's just, it is showing up in sort of lots of results now. Banks, Barclays today. Down really heavily, as you pointed out. You know, just the soft outlook. It's really the UK business is starting to struggle.
Well, banks have two issues in there. They're bonds they're holding, and you got the worry about businesses defaulting on loans and all that stuff. And higher debt and all that stuff is going to be expensive.
They had a lovely tailwind from higher interest rates as well, which improved their net interest margin. A lot of savers are moving out of some of, you know, the sort of lower interest rate accounts into higher rate products, locking that in. So Barclays has seen a few outflows in that respect.
Yeah, look at that. That's close to low there, Barclays. But do you know what? I just think, I know the central banks say it. They say, we're going to stay higher for longer. They won't.
We will stay higher for longer, but just, we won't go back to where we were. But, you know, we're not. There is a possibility we start to see as the, you know, signs of the economy slowing down become much, much clearer. The banks' hands will be tied. You know, I don't think we'll see any more increases, certainly not in the UK. And the question is then, when do they start to cut?
Maybe one in America. No, but I don't think they'll be higher. I mean, they'll be higher than historical levels.
But yes, that's right.
I don't think they'll keep them this high. I think when they really start to see unemployment rack up and businesses start to struggle and growth slowing down, they'll start saying, okay, because that will kill inflation. You know, all that kills inflation lack of demand, businesses not employing people, you've got lack of wage growth, that will slow down. That's a lagging factor.
Wage growth is definitely slowing down.
It'll always be slowing. Okay, GreenRock and Tirupati, we covered this yesterday about China. Talking about basically national, what was the term for it?
But resource nationalism.
Yeah, resource nationalism.
So GreenRock, but it's like, Tirupati put a statement out yesterday, and GreenRock's, said much the same thing today. The shares are obviously off because, you know, if China's restricting supply, and China is a big supplier of battery grade graphite, that's a bit of a tongue twister. Western manufacturers are going to have to find new sources, and you know, both GreenRock and Tirupati are well positioned to do that. Hence the big jumps today.
China being a dominant force. Foremost a graphite producer and exporter, and the primary source of over 70% of global synthetic graphite and approximately 65% of natural flake. That's huge, isn't it? When you realize that's in their hands, China, they own that supply chain pretty much, you know. Moreover, China also possesses more than 90% of graphite. That's so worrying. That is so worrying. Look at that. In Europe alone, the demand for battery-grade graphite is estimated to reach 1 million tonnes by 2030, which is equivalent to entire global graphite production in 2020.
It's insane.
That's why we need European supply chains.
Trying
to strangle on that.
Yeah, I mean, so the graphite price has been a bit soft, but, you know, this will obviously help that, and that then in turn helps, you know, with the sort of economics of GreenRock and Tirupati's projects. You know, we've left ourselves very vulnerable in the West to this sort of thing. And, you know, China is increasingly, is hostile the right word towards sort of Western companies? There's certainly some very strange things going on there at the moment. This is just the latest, you know, development on the it's you know, economic war, for want of a better description.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is, it's economic war. Of course they are, and and it doesn't help that China and America are increasingly cold towards each other, and China are selling off, selling off American bonds, and they're friends with Russia now.
You had all this in the semiconductor market as well. You know, it's tit for tat,
Upland is one of the most fall. You know, big rally yesterday. There's questions over the validity of this takeover of 14 pence. A couple of people said, why not buy some in the market and take a majority position? So the fact it's not getting up to 14 pence means it's being questioned a little bit, the validity of takeover. But I suppose, shareholders are happy. Doesn't matter. It's all the share price. QBT is obviously a follow company. Erasure Miners back in the front there. CAB, we'll have a look at that in a bit. CAB payments down 72.75%. This was a mid-cap company. And now it's down at literally 149 million. So 70% being wiped off the share price this morning. But GreenRock is most red. That's down as well.
This is
Greatland Gold, GGP. And we're walking through it. It seems like there's more water there than they're expecting in the Hibernian project. And like I said, this is really well followed because it's one of the biggest risers in previous years. In fact, one of the biggest fallers as well. But with GGP. I mean, it's crazy, and people hold on to the hype, you got to understand now when it was back there, how much shares they issued in this period, because they were probably a lot smaller market cap than they are now. In fact, it's still about 300 million, and it did about. Always look at the market cap, because they've done 2,400% in that rise from low to high from 2020 to 2021, and I think people are still holding up the hype. But look at that; that's a huge downtrend, and it's not changing. Except series of lower highs, lower lows. It needs to get back above this almost 8 pence level to stop that downtrend. But obviously the news there that there's more water than they need is not. So I think they're putting a hold. Yeah, with Alba Mineral, like I said, in Wales, they've got the same problem in their mines. But like we did discuss earlier, in Wales, rain's expected. you can't travel always on no rain. Volex. I don't know much about Volex, do you?
It's the old Nat Rosso company. They amongst other things, they make sort of bits, connectors and stuff like that for electric vehicles. Okay. Charging electronics. So yeah, it's a real favourite of investors. But they had a cyber attack not too long ago.
Cyber attack. They said that. Did they say about the money and about the what's happening here? Revenues first half of the year 4% higher than last year. Organic, it's, constant currency. Let's sort of chart this.
It's been a very steady performer.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, it's been a bit, it's up and down. It's hit the high there.
Yeah, see, it's generally up.
See, that's always a telling sign. A lower high and then pull off a cliff. 200-day moving average. Let's get rid of this 50 to make it a bit clearer there. But definite downtrend look there. Broke a little bit, but it's rolling over again here, though, towards that 200-day moving average. But what else is there?
But again, just sort of going back to the point about the economy, what we're seeing, what it says in its statement, it's sort of the more discretionary areas where it's supplying are proving weaker. The signs are showing up everywhere now that we have gone into a fairly significant slowdown.
Yeah, absolutely. Oddly, this one here, CAB payments, they didn't list that far back, but I mean, the 150 million market cap, 72% down. They do say, give a Q3 update, and they do say essentially, ongoing uncertainty surrounding the Naira, which are impacting both volumes. What they do is basically the cross-border payments, foreign exchange, all that stuff, Western African franc. The Central African franc.
There's all sorts of strange things going on in Central Africa. We know that. Been several coups recently. There were two companies that in the payment space that reported today. The other being Cornerstone.
Yeah, we'll have a look at that.
Fantastic numbers.
I know. I'll look at that in a second. But look at this. Based on the revenue, they're still expecting group revenues to be 20% ahead of last year. So they're not growing well. But this is it. This is around 70% below previous guidance. And so, you know, this is they're trying to lessen the impact on group profitability. But it's down like, I mean, they did say, I just think this is, I'm not into falling knives. So I never do falling knives. But this to me, when you get 72% down, unless there's something in the balance sheet that's questionable, like debt or something like that, then that's a huge sell-off, isn't it? Massive sell-off in CAB. Now, they haven't been listed long, as I said, but...
yeah, that's. I mean, that's a big miss. You know, it's a big miss.
I don't know what the value. I mean, have you got any valuations or projections on that? Because I literally think, wow. Of course, it's come to the market. In fact, it's not July, so it wasn't in the boom time particularly. But that there is not good. I put an alert. It's not even got a 200-day moving average on it because it's so new.
I mean, 10 times walk. But then, you know, that's before the looks like it's going to be a fairly significant downgrade.
Yeah.
But a big company.
Yeah. CSFS. Yeah. I mean, similar area, but literally they've been knocking out. I do hold a few of these, I've got to say. And they've been knocking out of the park here. So it's a nano cap, 8.47 million. And the reason why I sort of going to the size, the growth, but also the previous guy here was at Equals. Equals are very well in this space, and their growth is very good. Like I said, they're going to have you've written an article. What was your thoughts on this, John?
I think it is. You know, they're just upgrade cycle, basically.
Yeah.
Which is something we always like to see. Yeah. So you know, I think they've been investing, you know, fairly heavily in their platform. And expanding their direct sales teams, and they've done a bit of restructuring of the sort of balance sheets, a lot of loan notes outstanding, and expanding, you know, their sort of range of markets that they offer to customers. So the number of active customers has increased, the average, you know, transaction size is increasing, and you know they're on course to become sort of cash profitable by the end of sort of 2024. So yeah, it's nice looking company.
Yeah, you know, I don't know a lot of them, but I looked into them. I just saw the Equals. In fact, Equals got away from me. I needed to invest Equals. I didn't. And I got in this. They obviously, this is you need scale. But I mean, if you look at that, I just say always, I mean, regardless of, you know, looking at fundamentals first, chart next, because look at that. You can see there, even look at the 200-day moving average, it's come down here and it didn't break it until this level here, which is May 2023. And then you've got a series of higher highs. So you can see there, the last high was pretty much at 9 pence. And it broke that, come down a bit, still above 200 day, and then broke up again, and again, another high above that. So you can wait, there's a brother high break. And it's a little bit volatile because it is a small cap stock, you know, it's a nano cap stock. But like a day, it went up to 17 pence, come down. But I do like the fact that you can see there a series of higher highs, a series of higher lows as well. I want to see more information. There's no forecast on them yet. I think Shore Capital are going to be initiating a note on them. But
I've got some forecasts.
Have you?
Yeah. But I don't know if these are valid.
I think they've been from SPA Angel, I think.
Yeah, I think they are SPA Angel. That's whose note I was looking at this morning. Yeah, I think these numbers now look, you know, they're way out of date. Way out of date, because they talked about doing more than 8 million this year. Mm-hmm. And the forecast I have is for 6.6. So, they've smashed their forecasts.
Yeah, yeah. Sean says, we are at the bottom of the market now. Sean, if you can say that with all honesty and accuracy, you'll be a billionaire. Just go long and a spread bet. You know, mortgage your house on it. Because I know you're into Avacta quite big. In fact, where's the Avacta chart at the moment? We're at the bottom of the market now. How do I know? Because long-term holders are scared to buy and behaving like traders while shorts are shorting like they can't lose. Yeah, maybe. I mean, are long-term traders scared to buy? I'm not really scared to buy, but I just be, you know, careful just in case it takes another leg down.
Yeah, I think there have been, a lot of people have you know, got cold feet about the market. It's not retail investors. Yeah. So there have been sort of fairly high levels of redemptions you know, from funds that invest in smaller companies, which is why we're seeing this massive selling pressure. There are signs that's coming to an end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I keep saying all the time, John, strap in. We'll have a little rally at the end of the year. It'll roll over a little bit. It'll pull back a little bit. Central banks will start worrying about the figures coming out, and they'll start talking a bit more you know, a bit more about maybe easing rates or something. They'll couch it in a certain way that doesn't go against the higher for longer nonsense, but they will do it. And the markets will start to rally. And I think 2024, after 2 years going down pretty much, we exclude the S&P 500 because that's skewed by the Magnificent Seven. But if you look at all other indices, pretty much 2 years, you know, has been going down for. And that's pretty much quite long for a recession. You know, it is, as historically, for a sell-off, for a bear market.
The Magnificent Seven, we've got some financial reports coming out from Alphabet and Microsoft today.
That'd be interesting. Because they are so big. It's a good read across the economy as well, because they are so big. They cover, you know, who of us, you know, who doesn't use a product from the Magnificent Seven? If you look at it. You know, all of us do. I mean, I got sort of, you know, I use Google. I use, Netflix. Are they Magnificent Seven? Apple. I use them. You know, so who is not touched? That's how good a business they are, the Magnificent Seven. Everyone in the world, pretty much.
I don't use Meta either. Tesla. I don't drive a Tesla. NVIDIA, there's nothing, you know, you could soon have an NVIDIA chip in your PC.
Yeah.
You know, so all sorts of interesting developments in tech. Earnings reports, definitely going to be worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah. Recession Dagger 88 says, yes, but I think it will be a shallow unless the geopolitical situation gets worse. Mr. Steve, charts are all well and good, but no, Steve, I can argue this all day and I've changed my mind on this. I used to look at charts all the time but not make them as important in my investing as I do now. And I tell you what, you wouldn't invest in CAB because they're downtrend. If you look at CAD, they become meaningless, I'm afraid. And the more you learn about them, they are money flow. Full stop, it's money flow. It's money going in and out. So you can do the fundamental research on a company. Okay, it looks all well and good. But if money's flowing out of it, you'll sit in a paper loss for a long time. And in fact, let's look at CAB.
It's horrible. I'm looking at it. It's really, really nasty.
Look at that. That's a series of lower highs, series of lower lows. You wouldn't go in that. That's not an uptrend. So all I'm saying is avoid downtrends and maybe ranges as well, because it could go to the bottom rate. But if you're holding stock and it's like dividend payer, you can get paid for that. But ranges, what you're doing is break down below that range. But the only way to be certain is it's uptrend. It's money flow. Also, there's something happening there. Of course, part of the market's going down. But every time it tries to make a new high, it doesn't. It breaks down lower, 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 lower. And that's a downtrend. So if you paid attention to the chart, you wouldn't got into that. Full stop. All right. So I'm going to do that. So Cornerstone's there. It's good results in them. I do like them, and I do think on sort of one-time sales, that's cheap. Because if their margins are typical of the industry, like what, 20, 30% EBITDA, that's cheap. That's decent. So, but of course, they're still as yet not at that level. So, but there we are.
CAB payments. I mean, I'm looking at it. I mean, it's a big company.
It was.
But it's still quite big. So, you know, but highly profitable as well.
Yeah. It just goes to show that,
you know, if you're missing those forecasts in this environment, then you're going to get absolutely tonked.
Like I said, this is why, Steve, give me a chart. I'll put it up there and see why you should invest in it or not. And I'll tell you why I'm looking at the chart. Okay. But also, I do say fundamentals is the first thing you should do, and then look at the chart. So you should research companies first and foremost. CAB is, I just think that's kind of a bounce. Unless it's something I'm not seeing in the thing, but I wouldn't trade a bounce anyway. But so CAB is down. Also, FDP. Now, I did look back. Paul talked about these on a hot stocks, and I'm sure he held them for a while. I don't know if he's still in them. I hope he's not. So they're down 33%. And what do they do? I don't know what they do, actually. What is it? No idea. But they do say here, if you notice, down further, it's annoying. You've got to go down here. It's all decent, 50% ARR, all that stuff. And you get down to, what's this, an eighth bullet point? In this market, our expectations for growth have reduced from the current year, and we expect the second half to be similar to the first half. In market conditions remain challenging, and we continue to manage resources to meet demand, but we see evidence of improvement. So they've taken a big hit as well. And it's the kind of companies, there's a sort of, you know, revenue there, and they are loss making, adjusted EBITDA, but they are loss making, net debt of 7.2, but 147 million. But they've taken a massive hit as well, you know.
I don't know much about the company, I must admit. I'll have to go away and have a look at that one.
But even that, you can see there, look at that, you know, if you look at it, you know, series of lower highs all the way down. And there's even this, the lower low, and all of a sudden it falls off a cliff, you know. So, look at that. And conversely, look at it previously. Series of higher highs. You've done very well there. If you're going, it's a 4 quid, up to 44 quid. It's a 10 bagger in, you know, 10 years. That's nice. And then, and look at that. Just look at that. When you, if you look at this, even the 200 moving average, right? It's never significantly dipped below that. Okay. Never. In that 10 years, Steve, you pay, Mr. Steve, you're paying attention. And then all of a sudden, it touches it, dips below it, hangs below it, really shoots down below it, and think, okay, there's something up here. And so you just get out, you know, in that level. You've done pretty well if you're going before it. But that's showing a change in trend. And you get a couple of bounces, but slowly the trend breaks down and it's down there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Anything on the front, anything on Vox we look at, John? Cornerstone, you covered System One. What is that about?
It's more data-driven marketing, it says there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only a small company, but it's doing well. It's doing well, which is, funny enough, FD Technologies has a marketing insights division. But yeah, System One is, as I say, very sort of a small software provider that does marketing intelligence and services.
Yeah.
And the numbers are okay.
Yeah. Trading update. Tell by the chart, it's very bitty. There's very lack of liquidity there.
It's very small. This is the problem sometimes with investing in significantly smaller companies. But yeah, it's marketing tech. I mean, the whole industry is in a bit of a downward trend at the moment. But you know, this is the future of marketing.
I want to look at Avacta because Sean's a big holder of Avacta. What's your thoughts on Avacta at the moment, Sean? It keeps doing this, rallying and then pulling back, which is annoying. Now there's a lower high here, which is annoying. But it does, that range is quite strong, though. And it does get it, keeping that range for a long time, apart from these odd dip downs. But I suppose you have his confidence there. But it's frustrating seeing a chart not in a trend. It's just annoying.
We are, it isn't up yet, but Cordell, which is a. Sort of revised travel technology.
Yeah.
Got a big contract. High speed rail. And we're having a look at Angling Direct as well.
Yeah.
Angling Direct. It's strange. I'm not a fisherman. It's not something I've ever really got my head around. But
my boy started getting into it. And I did look at the Angling Direct because they buy this stuff from there. And I thought, I didn't buy them, but the chart was looking good a few months back.
Yeah, numbers are really good.
There we are.
Numbers are really good.
There is a good example, right? Let me just put this on. Let me just look at this then on the chart, Mr. Steve. I like that. Fair enough. Look at that. Another example. If you need a just put a 200-day moving average on your chart. That's all you need to do, ladies and gentlemen, right? But you don't really need that. All that's doing is smoothing out the price action. That's all it does in a delay. But you can see there, draw a line from the lows there, and all of a sudden, you can see there, draw a line there, and all of a sudden, it sort of starts to break it here, okay? It comes down, tests the low, breaks up, and you can see, broke 200-day moving average, hasn't done that since when? Back in October 2021. And so you think, okay, that there is pretty much a bottom, pretty much, you know? But you see, it's starting to rally there. So rather than getting all the way down here, just wait until it breaks a trend line, and then you see...
The numbers are great. But top line revenue's up 11%, 43.3 million. That's a nice split between physical retail and online. They're both growing nicely.
27 million market caps. So,
yeah, EBITDA rising, PBT rising. You know, it's a good operator, and it's the dominant retailer.
It is,
exactly. Here in the UK. So
yeah,
you know, it's a nice business to own.
It's like, I suppose, you know, it's one of these, you know, like it's a national brands, like Pets at Home, Pets Online, what they call that. You know, sometimes when you're going to go somewhere, if these are everywhere, you just go there, you know. But, I mean, there are lots of little small shops, but I suppose they could probably acquire those if they wanted to, if they were good, you know, independent businesses just out there. Because you can get these independent angler shops, and there is a community there, because I have a friend of mine who's very, he's really into angling, and he used to go down to Greens down the road. He's a bit of banter there, have competitions there. But you always get these guys who get to the end of their life, they want to sell up in the end, you know, they're a good business, they want to sell up, and they will probably to Angler Direct and all people like that, or they, you know, add them to their sort of roster. But so like-for-like sales, 4.9%. I mean, it's obviously a retailer. Gross margin. What is the gross margin? I can't imagine.
35%. It's not bad.
Oh, sorry, retailer.
I was just wanting to have a look at this net borrowing. This has got a little bit of borrowing, but not a great deal.
It's like Pets, Halfords, Anglin Direct. We've dealt with all those. They've all been very helpful. Like I say, Halfords are very helpful whenever we go in there with bikes. And I would like to deal with an independent person, but we did down the road recently, and they weren't as helpful. So I'm like, okay. So that's not the sort of message you get sometimes, is it? You say, small local businesses, very helpful. The one we went to wasn't.
Yeah, and Halfords, I said a lot of good. Yeah, very strong net cash position as well.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. What is it? Half year results.
Yeah. Very strong.
No, so I looked at them. I scroll down here. But just retail. I thought cash. So 17 million, and they are literally. Have they got any debt here?
No.
Oh no, current liabilities. No, they haven't. So they have lease liability, I suppose, don't they?
Yeah, if you've got physical retail. But yeah, net cash 17.6 million, according to their statement. You know, that, and what's the market cap? 27. So, you
see.
So actually, what on the face of it looks like a reasonably punchy valuation, actually, you strip that cash out. This is cheap. What's going on my list? Yeah, I know nothing about fishing.
Well, no, honestly, we've had a couple of experiences with them. Very nice, very helpful, very useful. Okay. Honestly, so yeah. So I like that. Look at that previous, that resistance there. Now it's almost providing a bit of support there to 32 pence. So that's nice to see. A little gap up, made it fill that. But that's quite nice. Yeah. Anything else on here? What's the? There was something else. I can't think what it was. Now it's written down. It's not Argo Prop. Cornell, you mentioned. I did like this company. They rallied strongly, but they're in AI, aren't they? For looking at rail tracks and maintenance of rail tracks, AI thing.
Digital twin. That's it. You know, I love this idea. So you have, it's a digital version of what's actually happening in the physical world.
Yeah.
We've had the whole shenanigans with HS2.
Yeah, so they want a contract there, they or what?
But it's HS1.
CRD.
This is the one that goes from London to the Channel. Infrastructure investment, it's going to happen. It has to happen. You know, and public transport projects have to be at the heart of that.
Trouble is, with the amount of debt governments have to pay, then you think about how much money they got to pay. That's one of the reasons why they cut back on HS2 is because they haven't got the money. Governments are skint. They're paying out so much money in phenomenal.
Yeah, true. But there is all this sort of Network North that's been talked about as well. I think transportation technology, we've talked about it before, Journeo being another example. I think it's a good space to be in.
Yeah,
I think it's a decent bit of a decent industry.
Let's look. How can CAB B, the banks allow shares to come to the market with a valuation of 335 and then 4 months later be down at 60 pence? How does this happen? Well, first of all, most companies that come to, I never touch IPOs ever. Some of them do well, but not in a bear market, but they are priced to give the investors, initial investors, pre-IPO, a bit of a return, aren't they? They sell them. They are normally, you very rarely see companies come to the market at good valuations. You know, they're all pumped a little bit.
Which I've always found slightly daft. You know, you should leave a little bit on the table for the next.
Exactly. Time. Yeah, you want it to rise in the market, but it's a greedy of brokers and all that stuff.
Mm.
Simon says, recession, probably yes in UK by Xmas Q3 and Q4 likely negative. US is not in recession yet, and they drive the markets. Yeah, but
there were some worrying signs out in the US. One of the biggest ones, you've got mortgage rates there now at 8%.
Yeah.
Same as car loan rates, and you're seeing rising auto loan delinquencies.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You have a canary in the coal mine there.
Exactly. These are leading indicators of, like I said, application for mortgages at 1995 lows. How many nines are put in there? 1995. So you see that, the knock-on effect to the building industry that will have. Huge. Absolutely huge. Paul Hilfiger came off in the gloom. However, Europe and product expansion just future prospects are good. Missed it, Justin. Could be a long way to go. No, too big for me now. I've missed it. I'm sure exactly where I should go with Equals. I was literally going to press the button on it. No, because I looked at the stats there, and I was back there. Let me share the screen. It was back here. And I was interviewing the CEO, Ian Trafford-Taylor, here. And I liked it a lot. I liked the growth. And I just didn't press the button. And now look. It's now, it hasn't touched the, it's now starting to break a little bit. But this may be just down to, you know, the bear market and volatility.
Yeah.
Like it's done it before, it's dipped down and went back up. So,
well, maybe, was, maybe Cornerstone gives you a second bite at the cherry.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I've done with, you know, Cornerstone. Because it's small, they can scale up and stuff. And who knows? But a couple more comments. SCD is looking interesting. 50% chance of bull running, my information. Okay. They need money, don't they? They need to raise money. They said that. So I would wait until they've raised money and then see it from there. Thoughts on Avacta are that HCI are converting and selling, but given current volumes, shouldn't take more than 4 weeks to clear this quarter payment. All eyes on the P1A data release, which will be the catalyst for a huge upward re-rate in the shares. That's the plan anyway. Yeah. What's happening with the acquisition news on Bellascura? I don't really know. Are they being acquired or not?
No.
I have no idea.
No.
People in the US are locked into low mortgage rates for 30 years, so they aren't moving. Maybe new mortgages down. Yeah, but that's just the trouble, see. I mean, house buying and house building stimulates so much of the economy. When you shut that tap off and you got it in tandem with that, you know, everything people are spending on is in debt wise.
Well, moving creates activity. But we've seen a couple of big companies. Rentokil was the one that surprised me the most because there was, you know, real slowdown in the US there, which I found strange. You know, this, you know, presumably termites don't stop during a recession, but there you go. Bunzl today. Down quite heavily.
Are they Bunzl?
Bunzl.
Bunzl.
Bunzl is a sort of distribution company.
Yeah.
And they've had a real sell-off this morning. You know, having done really very well. You know, throughout the pandemic and beyond. You know, I think they supply some sort of health products amongst other things. But revenues going backwards there, a bit faster than expected.
Okay. You see there. Look at that. I mean, it's telling chart. Eyes there. Then there, now that there, they're starting to dip further and further below that 200-day moving average. I mean, so just on the things, real workers, surprise that 12 quid an hour now outside London. That's quite good, isn't it? But can you afford that? You know, someone says, but a business group warned there was a limit to what firms could afford. Yeah, that's not going to help inflation, I suppose. But look at this. The world shift to clean energy is unstoppable, the IEE says. They do say we're not cutting down on phasing out fossil fuels fast enough. It needs to be twice as fast.
It's becoming ever more confusing by the day. There was a report from Centrica suggesting, you know, that there was a real grid bottlenecks that could be problematic and that actually, you know, because another report in the FT as well, absolute ESG, getting an absolute savaging.
Yeah. Everyone stepped back from it now, isn't it?
A guy called Aswath Damodaran, the sort of godfather of valuation. Mm-hmm. So there's a real tug of war going on with sort of clean tech and fossil fuels and environmental, you know, and ESG, and it's a bit of a mess at the moment.
Yeah, I think when you start off, obviously subsidies are needed, but if the new tech, which should be, it should be more efficient, more sustainable, and more cost effective. When it comes down to that, when there's a no-brainer between buying an EV car and a petrol car, literally to charge it would be cheaper, to run it would be cheaper. It will take off. That's, you know, that's the tipping point, isn't it? When you get that level, when you're spending like, you know, 15, 20 grand more on an EV, you're thinking, well, what? No, I don't want it really.
But as you know, as Greenrock pointed out in their statement, we need, you know, a million tons of graphite a year to supply European demand. And,
That's not including pencils.
Different graphite. China hasn't banned the sale of pencil graphite.
I was going to say, I get all my pencils from China.
Yeah. I think that's true. It's, you know, that's the direction of travel, but there are a lot of barriers at the moment.
Yeah.
It's just tricky.
Okay, and last one from Riffits of Soft. US house builders do okay, but wouldn't touch the stocks. They're doing okay now. You wait. It'll take a while for to fall through. It's a very lag indicator, but give it enough time. I don't see how the markets can literally thrive when there's a chokehold on the... In fact, you know, it's an interesting fact, John. From 1979... to 2023, I did mention this in the weekend podcast with friends of mine. Where do you think we are in relation to interest rates? Do you think we're higher average or lower now at the moment?
Lower.
The average. Yeah. The average interest rate is 7.11% from 1979 to 2023. That's including the 17% high in 1989, I think it was.
Yeah, you had some horrendous spikes during the 80s.
But of course, debt is a lot higher. I mean, most people, you know, let's say years back, people were paying sort of 10% of their wage on a mortgage. Now it's 50%. You know, so it's a lot higher. The costs are a lot higher. Mm. Anyway, thank you, everyone. Don't forget, if you like the content here, hit that like button, share it with someone you know, like, or even a stranger. Who cares? And if you could download the Vox Markets app, it's free to use. But if you start using it, you'll regard it as priceless. Literally, you get RNSs via notification. They come to you. You don't have to go to them. Okay? Marvelous stuff. Cheers for that. Wednesday tomorrow, isn't it?
Wednesday tomorrow.
Speak tomorrow, Johnny. Cheers, buddy.
See you later.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.